the gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, we're still interacting with some folk in this national conversation, not only among evangelicals, but folk beyond the evangelical world, but we're specifically dealing with folk in that particular context. And we're talking about, who should we vote for? Should we sit it out? Should we vote for Trump? Should we vote for Hillary? What should we do? And this is like day three, day four. I don't know, Mary, but we're going to talk about it. Now, yesterday, toward the end of the broadcast, making some points, but I don't know, I don't know if emotional is the right word, but we're going to make some specific points rather than just say things like, I just don't know what to say. It's kind of how I feel, you know what I mean?
Okay. So you got, you got a list today.
But when Tabidi Anyabuwile says, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton, I don't know what to say. But I got something to say today.
All right.
Now, I said some things yesterday, but I want to be a little more measured.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Measured is good.
So Dave Miller, SBC Voices, a few days ago pointed this out. Says he can't vote for Trump. He's despicable. Okay. I hear you. Then Wayne Grudem comes out. You gotta vote for Trump or you're in sin. Now, he didn't say those exact words, but that was the implication. The only good moral choice is to vote for Trump. That's basically what he's saying. Now, I'm going to vote for Trump because I think at this particular point in time, it is the right thing to do, but I don't say with Wayne Grudem that you gotta do that. It's still a matter of conscience, if you ask me.
Well, since yesterday, I have read the article, and mm-hmm. he did say it's a matter of conscience, but he was trying. I mean, he did say it in there.
Yeah.
Let's don't fight over it. Let's keep talking.
Wayne Grudem's like me.
He's soft, you mean?
Well.
Okay.
You know, you might feel.
I didn't say you were soft, but.
Well, no.
What
I mean is you might feel one way, and so you say it, and then you think, well, I don't know if that's exactly. You know, like it's a matter of conscience, but you really ought to do this, you know, but, I mean, but he did imply in a couple of places that
you really ought to
vote for Trump.
Yeah, you shouldn't sit it out. I mean, that's his belief. You should not sit this out.
I'm going to give Wayne the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, he left it in the realm of conscience, but that's being very generous.
Okay.
But you know what? I want people to be generous with me because say things far worse than Wayne Grudem.
Yeah.
You know, I say things sometimes like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that.
Okay.
So, anyway, it doesn't matter.
All right.
But, you know, I think that's the right position, but what, you know. Anyway, now Doug Wilson, on the other hand, he says you got to sit it out. You can't vote for either one of these people. He's like Dave Miller, but he's got a different argument.
No, I have not read
Doug Wilson. We're going to talk about Doug Wilson today.
Okay.
Now, listen. Every one of these men I like. That's not the issue here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just interacting with them.
Yeah.
So I say, you know, I like Tabidi, but I disagree with him on this one. I like Doug Wilson, but I disagree with him on this one. I like Wayne Grudem. I'm almost where he's at. I like Dave Miller. Not where he's at. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yesterday at the end of the broadcast, though, I was commenting on Tabidi's rationale for voting for Hillary.
Okay.
You know, he was saying that she's a known evil, of course. He's not, like, endorsing her or anything, so I want to be fair.
Yeah.
But Trump is an unknown evil. He's unpredictable, and he'd rather go with the predictable rather than the unpredictable. Which, any way you slice it, there is a sense in which Trump is unpredictable, but he's not as unpredictable as you might think, and that's Wayne Grudem's argument. So I go with Grudem there. Not going to rehash.
Yeah.
At the same time, when you listen to what Trump has really said, unless you're buying into the liberal media rhetoric, how in the world can you say that Trump is anywhere close to being in terms of the policy positions that he says he wants to embrace or implement, how can you say that he's anywhere close to being as evil as Hillary? It just doesn't make sense. And so Tabidi was talking about all of the rights of certain people being oppressed. You know, certain, well, quite frankly, he didn't use this terminology, but this is the way it falls out, identity groups in this nation.
Yes.
Now, the reality is, I made a statement. I said, if you think that it's not the Hillary Clintons or the Barack Obamas or the liberals of this world who are infringing on the rights of people in this nation, including the rights of identity groups, then you're not fit for your office as a minister of the gospel. And there's a very real sense in which I want to dial that back. On the other hand, I want to stand by it, and that's what I mean, like me and Wayne Grudem are kind of alike. I don't want it to come across as ugly, and I don't want to say that Tabidi Anyabuwile is unfit to be a pastor. Yeah. He certainly is. But here's what I'm getting at. As a minister of the gospel, no, you don't have to be an expert in every area, but you do have to be a theologian. You do have to be a solid exegete. And if you're not any either one of those, then you're not fit for your office. You're just not called to be a pastor. But more than that, if you're going to comment on things like public policy, for example, which is what we're talking about here, you need to look through a biblical lens, and you also need to be a little bit discerning, like the men of Issachar, for example, who understood the times in which they found themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to understand that freedom and liberty, freedom is being taken away by identity politics. Freedom is being taken away with this new definition of tolerance. Freedom is being taken away when we say that discrimination is the summum bonum. The discrimination is the highest and best good. In other words, not being discriminatory. And so, for example, and again, I won't go down this road, we take so much time, but when you say, well, we're not going to discriminate against the same-sex couple who wants the Christian photographer to shoot their wedding, and so we're going to force the Christian photographer to shoot their wedding, well, what you've done is you've taken away the liberty of the Christian photographer, and you've discriminated against the Christian photographer. On the other hand, if you say, well, the Christian photographer doesn't have to shoot the wedding, you might make a case that the Christian photographer is discriminating against the same-sex couple, but the Christian photographer has not violated the same-sex couple's rights. They've not been oppressed in any way. They can go down the street and get another photographer. And that's how liberty works.
Yes.
And everybody's happy in that situation. But when you reverse it, what you have is tyranny. And that's where Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the Supreme Court are taking us down the road of tyranny. And if you can't see that, then you are missing a major part of the ministry to which God has called you. Because God calls us to, yes, preach the gospel, but the gospel is every word of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But it's also being able to call our leaders to account. It's being able to look at things through a biblical lens and say, here's what's happening in our culture, and here's how we as Christians ought to react to it. And that's what I meant by that. And anyway, I don't want to come across as ugly, but I want to say to my brother, you need to rethink your position there. Just like I would want someone to say to me, if I'm wrong on something, hey, brother, you need to rethink your position. And if they say it pretty strongly, I'm okay with that, too. We ought to be passionate. If we're not passionate, just quit.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, Gabriel Hughes points out the things that Hillary Clinton, for example, has said about women. You know, everybody thinks that Donald Trump is a misogynist. Well, he's not. He's an equal opportunity offender. Doesn't matter. Red, yellow, black, white, male, female. He'll offend anybody, and he'll defend anybody. He's not like against any one group, and that's the mischaracterization here. Now, is he a jerk when he's an equal opportunity offender? Well, sure. I'm not defending him. I'm just saying don't mischaracterize him.
There is a verse. I wish I could remember where it was. But it says, don't take everything that somebody says to heart, because you yourself have done the same thing. He says out loud what a lot of people keep in their head.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, you know, I heard someone say on some radio program that everybody, you're not going to get rid of racism because it's in the heart. You've got to change people's heart.
Yes.
It's got to be changed. And what the last 8 years have done is bubble up some of racism rather than subdue it. Does that make sense?
I was going to say, on the one hand, I need to quote Vody Balcom again.
Yes, do that.
If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch.
Okay.
But on the other hand, I don't want to characterize Donald Trump as a racist.
No. I didn't want to either.
That didn't mean he's never had a racist thought.
But I'm saying...
And I'll say this. Yeah. There's not a single person on this planet who's never had a racist thought.
That's true.
So, there you go. But... I'm not a racist.
Everybody has people that they just don't like.
That's exactly
right. No matter what
right.
their race are, you know, you don't get along with them. They might blow their nose too much.
Yeah.
You know.
I hate people who blow their... No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying. You know, anyway, there's always bias.
I know
it. You
can't
get rid of that, sadly, in the human, you know, and I don't know. We're going down a road.
You're going down the right road, and you're saying we all need to repent of those
things.
We need
to repent.
We can't justify any of it, but we need to be careful before we're so strong in judging others before we examine our own hearts.
That we hurt other people's rights, and that's
yes.
what happens. There's always ugly people in the world, but you still can't force people to do something that they don't want to do.
That's right, because that's tyranny.
And put them out of business because they don't want to do something that goes against their religious beliefs, even though they might be a bad... You know, some people have crazy thoughts.
Right.
They should have the right to have that as long as they're not
agreed.
Hurting
well, of course, them. Look, here, the Hillary Clintons of the world think that we're crazy for thinking
that
homosexuality or transgenderism is evil.
That's right.
Okay. Now, this doesn't mean we hate those people.
No.
We love them, but we don't want to mistreat them. We Christians don't.
Because God
but
says
neither.
It is a bad lifestyle.
Right, but neither do we want to allow those identity groups to tyrannize other groups, other people, business
mm-hmm.
owners, for example.
That's right.
Yeah. But when you think about, and this is going back to, you know, why I said what I said to my brother Tabiti, Hillary Clinton, you know, her husband is a predator, Bill Clinton. I mean, this is a known fact.
Mm-hmm.
And all the sexual harassment, and that's minor. I mean, that's a minor way to state it, but I'm not going down that road. But basically, she called those women trailer park trash. All these women who accused her husband of sexual harassment. She called them trailer park trash, called them other names, said nobody's ever going to believe them, just dismissed them. You know, on the one hand, she says any woman who accuses somebody or says that she's been raped or molested, she ought to be listened to. Except, and she hadn't said it this way, but here's the way it's playing out, except those women who've accused my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to call somebody a misogynist, it's Hillary Clinton when she calls all these women trailer park trash. Now, I'm not saying she is. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
What about that, Tabiti? I mean, that's just one example. She said all their accusations were part of a right-wing conspiracy.
And that's what we're saying. All these over-the-top characterizations are left-wing conspiracies.
Well, that's certainly true. There are people who are out to...
So who knows?
The establishment wants to dump Trump, to put it that way. Even now, Reince Priebus and the Republican establishment, they want to be rid of Trump just as badly now as they did before. They're just going at it a different way now. But that's another issue. That's another story. But what she was saying is that these women who had legitimate complaints... had no such legitimate complaints and were part of a right-wing conspiracy.
Mm.
And that's just evil. She's also received millions in campaign donations from Saudi Arabia, Algeria, the United Arab Emirates, on and on. Countries that are horrible with reference to women's rights. She's made fun of stay-at-home moms. Here's what she said. I suppose I could have stayed home and baked cookies and had teas, but what I decided to do was to fulfill my profession, which I entered before my husband was in public life. Now, again, nothing wrong with fulfilling your profession, but she was
but
kind of throwing
Trump
off on stay-at-home.
Like oh my.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we all know that Hillary is radically pro-death, which is about as anti-woman as you can be. She openly and unapologetically advocates for and defends abortion. From her own mouth, she said, the unborn person doesn't have constitutional rights. She received the Margaret Sanger Award and said she was in awe of Margaret Sanger. Now, not only was Margaret Sanger an abortionist, but she is a racist. So are we going to say that Hillary Clinton's a racist? You can make a better case for saying that Hillary Clinton's a racist than you can for Donald Trump. And I mean that 100%. I'm not saying she is. I'm just saying you can make a better case for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we got to move on. This is why you can't vote for Hillary Clinton. You just can't. And I will say that. It's a liberty of conscience issue whether or not you vote for Trump. And I said why. It's a liberty of conscience issue whether or not you sit the election out. It's a liberty of conscience issue whether or not you vote for some third party candidate who's biblically viable. Nobody's perfect, by the way. But Hillary Clinton is not biblically viable. There's no justification whatever to vote for Hillary Clinton. You have to work against her no matter what you do. Or you're just, I love you, but you're just wrong. Now, Doug Wilson would agree with me, but he would also say you're just wrong to vote for Donald Trump, too. Now, I disagree with Doug, but I do want to interact with him a little bit. Is that okay?
Okay.
Now, here's what Doug Wilson says. Here's the crux of his argument. He says, God tells us what to do, and the consequences are his. Now, that's true. God does tell us what to do, and the consequences are his. So, for example, and I'm just going to add this as a side issue, a lot of folk are saying, well, like Wayne Grudem, if you don't vote for Trump, then you're enabling Hillary, and you can't just sit by and do nothing. That's their argument. And if you do, you know, you're abrogating your responsibility. And I say, well, you know what? If I in good conscience can't vote for Trump or Hillary, then the results are up to God. The consequences are up to God, not me. You can't lay the consequences on me. And see, a lot of people have used, you know, and we cited it the other day, Wayne Grudem, you know, he used the whole Obadiah. Well, you know, you sat by and did nothing. And I just think it's a misapplication is all I'm saying. By the way, and Doug Wilson makes this point, and obviously I agree with him, just because you don't vote doesn't mean you're sitting by and doing nothing. Maybe you're doing a podcast like we are. Maybe you write. Maybe you speak. Maybe you're running for office. Maybe you're working for a third-party candidate who you believe is the real deal. Maybe you're doing something else. But just because you don't vote doesn't mean you're not doing anything. And someone else pointed out, you know, and I don't know who it was, and so I'm going to be careful. I won't mention her name. But they said, you know, it seems to me that a lot, I think this was to BD Anyabuwile. I think a lot of people are too focused on their personal righteousness than the nation. And the implication was, you know, you're kind of a Pharisee if you're worried about having a clean conscience when, you know, you need to look around you and do something. Of course, his conclusion was to vote for Hillary. Well, you know what? We all ought to be worried about a clean conscience. We all ought to be worried about personal righteousness. And yes, we need to be worried about the nation. But in the end, if according to God's word, in our own minds, as we search the scriptures, as we seek to apply biblical principles, if I come to the conclusion that I cannot vote for either candidate, don't call me a Pharisee. I'm struggling to make as much of a biblical decision as anyone else. You say, well, don't call me in sin for voting for Hillary. Well, I think that's a different issue. How can you in good conscience vote for Hillary Clinton? Is there any, a predictable evil, that's his rationale, not being ugly. Well, she's evil. She's a predictable evil, though. Well, as Doug Wilson says, that's not like Moses voting for Pharaoh, because Pharaoh's a predictable evil, rather than voting for the Amalekites because he's not sure what they'll do. So let's just go down there and vote for Pharaoh. I mean, does that make any sense at all?
No.
Of course not. I mean, leave it to Doug Wilson to put his finger on the problem. But I do want to take issue with Doug Wilson now. Not in an ugly way, of course. But he says God tells us what to do, and what he does is he goes to Exodus 18. And he says, moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. So this is when Moses was having an issue judging all these people. What do I do? And so the solution from God, look for these able men, men who fear God, men who are trustworthy, men who hate a bribe, and put these men over the people. And Doug Wilson says, we're supposed to choose based on character. and not upon our supposed ability to troubleshoot the future before any of it has happened yet. And the reason he's not voting for Trump, he says basically Trump's not a man of character. He doesn't fit Exodus 18:21, for example. Now, see, the problem with that is that sounds really good. And if you're just looking at the scriptures at a surface level, and, you know, Lord knows Doug Wilson doesn't look at the scriptures at merely a surface level. But bear with me for just a moment. If you're just looking at the scriptures at a surface level, that sounds real good because, hey, we all want to do what God says. And God says, look for able men who fear God, you know, trustworthy, don't take a bribe. Well, that's what we're going to do. Well, the problem is that's in an old covenant context. And you're talking about the nation of Israel. You're talking about God's chosen people. You're talking about a nation that is in covenant relationship with God. And while we would like a man of character in the Oval Office, and while all things being equal, we would vote for the man of character, the point is that the United States is not in covenant relationship with God. The United States is not the chosen people of God. The United States does not stand in the same relationship with God as ancient Israel did. And so you're talking about a civil society. You're talking about a nation, quite frankly, that's a pagan nation. We've been a pagan nation since day one. Even though we founded the nation on certain biblical principles, it's still not in covenant relationship with God. It is not Israel. It is not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a rival kingdom to the kingdom of God. And that's what we're talking about here in the United States of America. And I'm not upset.
I was going to say, that's a little preachy there.
I'm getting up on the pulpit.
Yeah, but that's what... I guess there's a difference between Baptist and Presbyterian.
Absolutely. And theonomic Presbyterian.
We see all kingdoms of this world as a rival kingdom to our God.
Absolutely.
And we are
and
not
they will all be destroyed, baby.
And the scripture does say they'll all be destroyed. And so, but at the same time, we're to work for good for the city. I do. Now, that is in Old Testament.
Well, that's not Old Covenant.
But
that's the children of Israel in Babylon.
That's right. And so
Jeremiah.
That is not mistaking that text.
No.
Because us as believers need to be looking for the well of the country we're in.
You have to look at every text in context. And Doug Wilson knows this. Now, he is looking at his text in context because the difference between, and you've just said it, but he's a theonomist and we're not.
Yeah.
And that is the difference between theonomic Presbyterians and say, liberty of conscience Baptist, we'll put it that way. We view the relationship between the Old and the New Covenants differently than Presbyterians do. I'm not going to get into it. We've talked about that before. But the point is, this is not a sacral society. This is a pagan society, and we want to influence in this society. But Doug Wilson's trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. He's trying to take an Old Covenant verse and command and fit it into, a pagan nation context today. Now, we want men of character, but at the same time, if you go back to the Jeremiah, the question is, do you believe that Hillary Clinton will do good for the nation or evil for the nation? If you believe she will do evil, then you can't vote for her. If you believe she will do good, if you believe that she will do good in some sense, then maybe you can vote for her. The same with Donald Trump. And that just brings me back to some of the things that Donald Trump has promised religious freedom. He's promised to lower taxes. He's promised to get us out of nation building and interventionism. He's promised to try to bring about peace and all those things. He may not do any of it.
And promised to bring some things that the federal government has seized control over back to the state.
That's right. And overturn many of Obama's executive orders. Now, do I for 1 minute think that Donald Trump is a Ron Paul or a libertarian or a Christian? Of course not. Of course not. So anyway, I'm going to obviously disagree
with him. But I'm praying for him every day.
Well, sure.
That's for sure.
Well, maybe he'll come to Christ. Maybe he'll get... Look, he's more conservative than he was.
Yes.
I think he's sincere on some of the... Look, Donald Trump, You know, Tabidi said that Donald Trump waffles on abortion. No, he doesn't. Donald Trump is the one who said that women who commit abortions ought to be put in jail.
We forget that one, don't we?
Yeah.
He's
what
like,
about
oops,
that?
Oops.
Well,
But he was so convinced at the time. Yeah, it is murder.
Well,
and
of course,
so,
and that's
so
the point.
Like,
and they should be put in jail. It's murder. And again, we did a broadcast on this, and all these humble pie, what do you call it, self-righteous evangelicals. Oh, you could never punish these women. They're victims. Really? Come on, guys. You just towing the GOP Republican Party line on that one. We have to look through the lens of Scripture. And it's not about, okay, I want to beat up on women. See, I could be called a misogynist. But it's about having a civil society. And if you murder someone in a civil society, according to the Scriptures, you got to be held accountable. That's just the way it is. I don't care who you are. You can be Barack Obama. You can be a woman. You can be a police officer. You can be a white guy. You can be a black guy. You murder somebody, you ought to be held accountable. What's so hard about that? Oh, well, I guess I'm a misogynist. Anyway, man, Wilson does make some good points, though, about the abortion issue. But since we've dealt with that issue, I'm just going to leave it alone. But the reason that Wilson disagrees with, say, Tabidi, of course, is manifold. But the reason he disagrees with Wayne Grudem is based on, you know, what we were talking about a moment ago. He's looking through an old covenant construct rather than a new covenant construct, and how the new covenant is applied in civil society. And so that's where we disagree. But basically he says that right now, if you look at the choice that we have, Hillary or Trump, you have to say that we're under the judgment of God. Now there's a sense in which, obviously, I think that America is under the judgment of God.
But so were we back in the Civil
War.
Well,
sure. Oh, absolutely.
From Abraham Lincoln.
But and see, here's my problem with Wilson. He says, when you're under the judgment of God, you don't try to massage it. You don't try to manage it. You just repent. Well, I agree. You just repent. But the conclusion that he draws from that is you don't vote for either one of them because it's God's judgment. And I totally disagree. I'm not saying you have to vote for Trump. But I'm saying it's not wrong to vote for Trump if you think that he can do a little good for this country. We don't know what God's future plan for America is. It may be revival. It may not. But we have to, look, if we think that it's a good, that some good things can come about, we don't just say, oh, well, we're under judgment. It's no use. That's a little fatalistic there, Doug. Now, I know you believe in predestination and all that. So do I. But I'm not a fatalist. Anyway, so it's a liberty of conscience issue. You can vote for Trump. You can sit it out. You don't have to vote for anybody. You can't vote for Hillary. But you can be active even if you don't vote. And that's what we need to be. We need to be active. We need to be salt and light. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll talk a little bit more next time.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.